And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. We're going to be talking with us next half hour with Father Tom Smith, who for the past 17 years has had one of the best jobs in Las Cruces, I think. You have had the opportunity to spend your days out at one of the most peaceful places in Doniana County for certain, and that is the Holy Cross Retreat Center.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's really been very good.
And you've tended to make it more peaceful.
Yeah. It's really been a delight. We're back off the road a bit, so it is a real pleasant place to be. Holy ground, as some people say.
Yes, and I think that's fair. I mean, do you remember the first time that you arrived there, first time you set eyes on it, what your reaction was?
Actually, I came in 1993 for a visit, and a couple of times just briefly. And I had been to retreat centers and seen those before. But it was very pleasant. And when I arrived in July, I was excited because July of 2010.
Yeah.
I was excited because I saw a group of retreats going on right then, something called an ACTS, ACTS retreat. And that's something that I'd worked with, and they're very energetic, and so I was delighted.
Yeah. So you weren't put off by the heat as you might have been.
No, I've lived in various parts of the country, and weather's not an issue for me.
So the whole concept of retreat ministry is a little bit new to me. Can you kind of just explain what that is and how it fits into the larger teachings of the church?
Sure. The scriptures describe Jesus and his apostles regularly taking time off. They say, you know, he's been curing people or feeding the hungry or doing whatever, and he would go off to the mountains to pray, or he'd go to Gethsemane, or he'd go to someplace else. And it was part of the balance of his life that he needed to take that quiet time to commune with the Father, God the Father. And so I think it's part not only of just the Catholic Church, but of many other churches, and not even Christian churches, but even other denominations or other types, forms of religion. That quiet space is really important. Yes.
And how do you accomplish that mission and at the same time, I don't want to say run a business, but you are bringing in groups and you're doing, you know, conferences and all of those kinds of other things that go along with it.
Yeah, that's an important question. We are a nonprofit, but that doesn't mean we don't pay bills. You know, we have to be a stable company or organization to do so. And the way we've done that is by nurturing those who come so that it's worth their experience to come back.
Yes.
I think that's an important thing. So we don't go looking for somebody every day, but have regular people who come every year. It's not like a local church that some people every week, the same people don't come back, but every year often they do. And I think it's giving them an experience of God's presence in their life. And as a group of people, because most people come as a group, but some come as individuals. But it's also making it a pleasant place to be. So we've done some renovations. We've done some building, you know, expanding the complex as well.
Yeah. And how many people do you work with? What is the staff like out there? I assume you're the only one that lives there?
No, not actually. I'm part of a Franciscan community,
conventional
Franciscans. There are five of us who live there.
I didn't know
that. We have a special house just for that. And I work full-time, and for many years I was by myself in the retreat ministry full-time. But now there are three of us working in that ministry, and I'll be moving on. And then there'll be two there for a while, and possibly three again. But we have another seven or eight people who work full-time or part-time either way, and then lots of volunteers as well who help maintain the property and the business.
And you're moving to Indiana. We feel terrible about that. How do you feel?
What will you
be doing there?
My commitment as a Franciscan is for 4 years at a time. Mm. We have a meeting every 4 years, and notes are reviewed. Staying someplace for 8 years is pretty common. After that, I offered to move if needed, but I would have enjoyed staying. They said, okay, sure, stay. And you're doing well. Keep going. And after 12 years, I said, okay, if you need to, I can go. They said, well, again, we'd like you to stay if you don't mind. But at this point, I said, okay, I think it's time to have new direction or new people to give some ideas. So I'll be moving back to Indiana, which is actually where I'm from. Originally, my family lives there, and it's in a parish in an area. I'll be pastor of a parish, St. Anthony's in Clarksville. that I'm familiar with. So it's not like a new strange place.
Will you be doing similar work or will?
No, this has been full-time retreat ministry. Yeah. There I'll be pastor of a parish.
Okay.
That has a Catholic school and lots of other activities going on.
Right. Yeah. And do we know yet who will take your position here?
Yes, we do. His name is Brother Joseph Bach. He's been with us actually about a year and a half or maybe a little more, living with us and working and learning. And so he has actually already taken over as the director. And I've just been kind of assisting a little bit here at the end. And then there's a man named Christian, Father Christian Martinez, who's going to be working with him as well.
Okay.
Possibly a third friar. Yeah.
For people who aren't aware, can you let me start with this one. I think what most people probably know you for is the annual art festival.
Yes.
Was that already going when you got here? And
yes, there have been art fairs of some sort there for many years, or festivals. They had a festival even it started in 57. Shortly after that, it had a kind of a pig roast or something like that.
Yeah.
And then at one point it switched to an art style with a guy, Father Marcos Reina was there. And then the forum I had last year was our 25th anniversary of the booths and that sort. It was going when I got there, but we've been able to expand about double what it was since then. And so, yeah, we had that goes very well. We're really pleased with the response to it. Yeah.
And other than that, I know that, the one time I was out there was for Leadership Las Cruces, and that was an overnight thing.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit surprised to learn, I didn't know all the years that I lived here, that it is, the facility, if you, is open to the public. If people want just to take a little time in the vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about,
they're actually a pecan orchard.
Oh, it is a pecan orchard. Golly, I haven't been out there, too. It's been too long. All right.
It's technically not a public park kind of a thing, anybody can just kind of walk in and do what they want.
Yeah.
We do not lock it. We don't have any way of locking it. You know, so people can come, and they do. We have a labyrinth in one place where people can go up and come and walk. We have a rosary walk outside. We have two chapels where people come and sit inside. Other people just come and walk and spend time. But most of the people who come there are either part of a group of some sort, either a religious group or right now we have a group of high school students from Virginia who are there for, it's called World Leadership School, to experience immigration, and they're spending a week there with us. So it's not some religious, vast majority, but some other non-religious but non-profit organizations as well.
Right.
Non-local question, I guess. How do you feel about the novel fact that we have a Pope who was born in Chicago?
Yeah. I think it's great. I knew he was one of the possibilities, and I was aware of him ahead of time. I think his stature has grown since he's been elected or chosen as Pope. He's very stable, and he tries to listen to different sides, kind of a median perspective, but I'm delighted with it.
And a related question, without getting too political, whichever side of the bitter chasm politically one is on, whether you think Donald Trump is saving the country or whether you think he's destroying our democracy, people are thinking about that stuff all the time and feeling about that stuff all the time, and it intrudes. To what degree, really three questions, whichever one you want to answer, to what degree does that impinge on you when you're trying to meditate or pray or, you know, whatever you may do? To what extent are people complaining of that? And I don't want to blame anybody or take sides. Obviously, I have one, but for this question, no. Is that something people are kind of complaining about or observing about, that, or do they enjoy your peace more?
Right.
I think we are. I'm certainly very aware of the political situation, not only in the United States but in other places around the world, and St. Francis of Assisi promoted care for the poor, compassion for those who are in need, and I think that as a Catholic priest, I need to address those issues on occasion. That doesn't mean I take a side specifically and say, mm-hmm. you need to vote for this person. I say, you need to be educated and prepared to vote. And these are the values
that we support. And be compassionate.
Yeah, these are the values we support. And I think that's important to do that. And there are people who come up and talk to me individually about things. I speak about it in general terms when I'm preaching or leading a retreat, and how we are called as individuals and Catholics to respond. But I'm not choosing one side or one viewpoint mm-hmm. over another
general. Well, I would guess that a lot of the people who come to your center see that as a safe place where you don't have to talk about politics.
Yeah. And in reality, there are people where politics is more important than their religious tradition.
Oh, I'm sure.
No
I'm
question
sure.
about that. And I need to respect that. But I think also, personally, I believe that our faith and our value system should impinge on our political or public stance rather than the other way around.
Yeah, right.
And it's important to be aware of it, but I don't want to create a caustic situation where, you know, people are arguing with each other. That doesn't gain much. Yeah.
There's an event coming up, right? We're going to have a proper farewell.
Well, something like that. Yeah, it's actually this coming weekend.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. After being there for 16 years, they thought, well, we should at least have some kind of a.
I would
event.
Think.
So at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, the 7th, we're going to have a public mass there for people, and so expecting a couple hundred or more. And then we'll have a kind of a dinner or a meal for people to share and tell stories and show pictures and appreciate and stand up and mingle. But it should be good. I think it's important to let people have a chance to say goodbye.
And yes. Can I give the phone number where people can?
Sure.
People can who want to go should RSVP by today. By calling
575-524-3688. Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful for us so we know how many
to
prepare for. And it is, for me, I remember once a guy was leaving and he just kind of left earlier in the morning before anybody had a chance to say goodbye. And I thought, that might be easier for him. But I think we need to say goodbye.
The amount of time you've been here and your mix of being friendly and gregarious but very peaceful and you're being out front for things like mm-hmm. I mean I'm even tempted to go and I'm irreligious but I we'd Walt and I definitely did want to see you and say goodbye to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I have made lots of contacts. In fact, I'm probably going to say something at the beginning saying, if you come up to me and I don't remember your name, please don't be offended.
Yes.
I counted one time, we had 9,000 people come there. And that didn't include the festival, the art festival. You know, people came, some of them came every month or whatever. I said, I can't remember. You might remember me because I'm the one person here that you see. But I think it's important to let people say thank you or, you know, this is what happened to me or whatever.
Well, I got on your list by the time I stayed out there, and so now every time there are envelopes to be stuffed or there's a job to be done,
I get invited.
That's right.
That's what we do. We have people fill out an evaluation form if they like. But people appreciate that. I mean, even if they can't go, because some of the people come from miles away, and we've drawn people from lots of places.
Right.
It's still important to be in communication.
So I guess I didn't realize that you've been living with other people out there.
And yeah. I'm a Franciscan, as I mentioned, and we generally live together. Diocesan priests, especially in this diocese, tend to live alone or maybe with one other person sometimes, whereas we are committed to living in common, sharing our faith, our prayer time, our meals, and supporting one another.
So it's got to be a little bit like, moving away from family.
Oh, sure. These are people I've known for many years.
Yeah.
And I'll be moving into another place where there'll be four of us living together there. And for me, I'm from a large family. I have 9 brothers and sisters, and so that kind of fits my style.
Sure.
If I were a single child, I might say, well, I kind of like it being alone. And some people do. That's fine. That's fine, but that's not my story.
Right, right. Are there any moments that stand out over the 16 years that you were there that you're going to, you know, take with you?
Actually, there are lots.
I'm sure there are.
I was just reflecting on that. But what touches me, I think, is when an individual either calls or writes a letter or something and says, you know, I'm not the same since I've been there. I came out and I felt welcomed. I felt at peace. And the sense of God's healing or forgiveness or joy in my life. I know people who've come there, changed their lives because of the experience, and then gone home and says to their family or their brothers or sisters or whatever, you got to go too. One guy I know even paid for his employees to come there because he wanted them to experience it as well. And for me, that's what makes a difference. It's not just, well, that was a nice time. You know, it's like if you go on a trip to Silver City. Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was a good time. Okay, that's fine. That's great. But this is something that touches the inner values and positions of a person. And that's where I think God working in them really makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I could give all kinds of stories for those. But.
No, but yeah, I mean, you don't need to. I think that's – everybody gets what you just related. So,
yeah. And I think that's – in many ways, the way we should treat each other, that a conversation should not just be, hi, how you doing, when you're not really interested in knowing how they're doing. If they say, oh, gosh, you know, I'm really sore today, and or I don't feel well.
Too much information.
TMI.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you really listen to someone
and
you sense God working through my life and their life, or we sense a sense of caring, that changes. And so I think it's rich.
Yeah. How do you feel the sort of way the Catholic Church is viewed by most people has changed in the last 16 years?
That the way their view of the church has changed?
Yeah, by primarily non-members.
The Catholic Church has had a long history, 2,000-something years.
Yes.
And some of it is very, very powerful and beautiful and good, and some of it's pretty sad.
Yep.
I mean, that's just
shameful.
Reality. Sinful, yeah, it is. I mean, it's. I'm embarrassed sometimes to study about the history of the Church and say, oh, you mean that really happened?
Oh, I could do an Inquisition?
Yeah, and still does. It's a human group of people who, and so there are going to be some of them very powerful leaders and compassionate, and others who are going to be taking advantage of it. I think that I am called to help that be a positive experience for people and to be attentive to those where it's not.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people who say they've been hurt by the church or they've been forgotten or whatever, or they don't feel like they're welcomed. Okay, can we talk? Would you like to talk about that a little bit? And sometimes I do, and it feels different. And I think as a public institution, the Catholic Church with Pope Leo at this point is doing pretty well. His willingness to address AI recently, you know, I think is pretty impressive.
Yes.
I mean, that's a very real world issue. And the people who sometimes most affected don't have a voice.
Yeah.
And so he brings it out and saying, we need to put people first. It's not profits first. It's not efficiency. It's people first.
I think it's fascinating. When I heard he was coming out with his first encyclical, I had no clue what it was going to be about, and I wouldn't have guessed that.
Right, I know.
But, and yet it makes sense.
Increased his standing around the world,
I would
in
think.
Most cases, because of that. And people realize, you're right, it's not always beneficial. Mm-hmm. And so I think that kind of statement, and Pope Francis, of course, did a lot of that, you know, in different ways, too. And I think as individuals, as a Catholic leader, that I'm called to be aware of that and willing to talk about it as well.
Right. So am I right that you're going to be going back to giving Sunday sermons?
That's right.
And,
yep. You know, I'll be on a regular schedule.
Yeah.
And we talking with people on a regular basis, inviting them to become involved in the parish and support the Catholic school that's there and to do outreach to the people in the neighborhood.
Has it been some time since you've done that? Or?
Well, actually, for 10 years before I came here, I worked in two areas in Louisville, Kentucky, and southern Indiana, with the Spanish-speaking immigrants.
Okay.
And they were within a parish context. I wasn't the pastor, which in some ways mm-hmm. was nice because they had to take care of the administration. But I was in that setting. So it's pretty similar. I just have just a little bit more.
Right. I guess where I'm going, have you given thought to, you know, what messages you're going to want to be sending through your sermons each week?
Not specifically, but it's the same, like, you know, that we are called to look at the life of Jesus and say, how can I let him touch my life? And how can I enrich the lives of other people? It's not just a matter of how do I get more out of this for myself,
right.
but how can I become a better servant? And to make people not stand on the edge, but to feel welcome, just to take the time to know them and look at different customs or different racial groups or whatever and say, you're welcome as well.
Yeah.
And not just me, but, you know, create that spirit within the community. And I think that's there already.
Sure.
The parish is 175 years old.
So it's, but it's a message you can't repeat too many times.
That's right. And I think it's...
it's a wonderful message.
It is, yes. And it's one that I think people need to hear. You know, they're not abandoned.
So I asked you before, you know, what memories you're going to have. Talk a little bit about the people that you're going to miss when you leave.
Sure. I think the thing that thrills me the most is when I see someone who comes and is very hesitant. Like this is an example. It's a guy who had a suit on. He came in, and it was on a Thursday night. We're starting this three-day retreat, and he's obviously not happy to be there. He's sitting with his arms crossed and his feet sticking out, and you can tell he's disappointed. Even I could see where he had taken his tie off and stuck it inside. But he just came from work, and he's probably thinking, how in the hell did I let myself get talked into this? And I thought, I'm going to pay attention to him. So I went over and sat with him a few minutes the first evening and introduced myself and welcomed him. And the next day at lunchtime, I talked to him a little bit more. And by Friday, and he was feeling Saturday. Sunday morning, this guy was a changed person. I mean, he was relaxed. He was excited. He was going around hugging other men, which I'm sure he hardly ever did before that. He was saying how excited he was to experience his faith in a new way, and he can't wait to tell other people. Now, that for me is a dramatic shift.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen often. And as long as that stays with them, I think that's a great success.
That's a great story.
It is.
Focusing for a moment not on the substance of church preaching, but on the experience of being a Franciscan. Mm-hmm. If I were a young kid that was thinking about joining the Franciscan order, mm-hmm. What would you tell me or ask me to try to figure out or help me figure out whether it was going to be suitable for me and whether I'd flourish in it?
That's important. We call it vocation promotion. Vocation mm-hmm. means making a choice about my life direction. And I've talked with lots of people through the years about that and listened to them, men and women both. And I think it's partially just letting them express where they sense that God is calling them. I mean, for some people, it's marriage, and that's great, even though marriage can be a challenge, as we well know. For other people, it's a single life. But those who are interested in religious life or ministry, it's to first let them speak about what they seek and what the gifts they might have and what they're looking for. If they're looking for a power position, I say, no, this is not what we're about. We're here to serve. We're not here to exercise power. But I think it's also, how can I help you find peace in this? And I've done that. One of the guys I knew shortly after I got here has come through all his years and is now ordained and working as a priest. And it took 10 years for him to do that or more. But I'm happy to see that. Yeah.
We are talking once again with Doctor.
Thank you. I didn't master's, but
you didn't know you had your medical degree.
Yeah. I want so much to give you a doctoral.
Thank you,
Father Tom Smith. We are down to our last couple of minutes.
Well, you deserve a PhD.
I get things in my head sometimes.
That's all right.
I can't explain it. Anyway, we are down to our last couple minutes. What haven't we asked you, and what, you know, kind of final messages do you want to leave with our listeners?
Well, I think part of it is New Mexico has become my home. Yeah. I've actually lived here longer than any place else in my life, including my own home. I stayed until I was 14 years old and then went to a high school seminary. So I've lived here 16 years, and it's become – I know more about New Mexico history, and I take a pilgrimage doing that next week, and you know, people want to see early history. This has become my home, and I will feel the absence of those people, a lot of people, for a long time. But I'll also be back.
Yes, yes. Part of what you just said says maybe you had your call when you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
How did that feel as a 14-year-old kid?
Oh, I didn't know what I was doing. It was. I grew up in a good Catholic family, and my parents were always very generous. That's why I wanted to do that. And I got it mainly because some guy priest asked me, "Would you like to consider this?" And it worked. It works. Been a good life, really a fine life for me. I have no regrets.
That's great. Do want to reiterate that they're having an event for you, for folks whose lives you've touched, to come and say goodbye to you in person this Saturday.
Sunday.
Sunday. Thank you. Of course, it's Sunday. So this Sunday, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock for the mass in the chapel,
and the number to call if you want to RSVP and tell them you're coming, 575-524-3688.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, even just to come and walk. I'm not going to be able to have an extended conversation with every person, but
no.
But hopefully, people will stay in touch. And
if you are coming back to visit sometime. Give us a shout. Maybe we can get you on the show and
thank you.
See how you're doing
I'm sure I'll be back.
Indiana.
I'm sure I'll be back.
Well, good. We look forward to it. We, as Walt Rubel and Peter Goodman, speak up Las Cruces. We've been talking with not Doctor, but
regardless of how much I want to make him,
Father Tom Smith from the Franciscans, from the Holy Cross Retreat south of town. And we will miss you.